And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
You're listening to Thunderheads, a podcast for Thunder fans by Thunder fans.
Welcome to Thunderheads. I'm Brandon Soule, joined as always by Rob Larson.
What's up?
And the dark and stormy Jason Lewis.
Yes, sir.
Did you guys see the article today? Old Thunder beat writer went with, Anthony Slater went with KD out to the Bay Area to follow him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that was planned or whatever, but he did the interview with KD today talking about Russ, anticipated matchup that we're going to get into this week.
Indeed.
Did you see it? Did you read it?
I did. It was quite good.
So you didn't read it, Rob?
Nope.
Huh.
So it's just an interview with KD and, talking about him and Russ's relationship. I don't know. It was kind of insightful from KD. It was nice to read the things he was saying as opposed to what we've been hearing in the past few weeks, where it's like, dude, just shut your mouth and you'll help yourself out a little bit.
Right.
Where now you read this and you're like, okay, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, he was finally like a person talking, which was nice, mm-hmm. instead of him just like
And he had nothing saying, but nice things to say.
Yeah, it was good. Like, it's kind of what we've all kind of thought, hopefully that's how he feels. And it's not like he's really taking jabs at us, because that would be shitty.
It's still really far away till he comes to Oklahoma City, but I think it would be really cool if everyone just like, you don't have to cheer him on like crazy, but maybe just like
a little golf clap and carry on. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think, something about reading that interview changed my mind. Not like totally, but it like made me feel better.
So today I was listening to
your dog scratched me like
crazy.
I'm
sorry about that. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
I was listening to a podcast with the guy, Lee Jennings from Sports Illustrated that did the profile on Russ and the crossover for them. And he was talking about how with Russ, it seems like if you do like one wrong thing to him, takes him a long time to trust somebody. But if someone crosses him ever, like apparently he just writes you off. Like you're done.
It's going to be interesting to see how he greets KD on Thursday before the tip.
What do you expect?
I don't know. I think I expect just like a, no eye contact, like fist bump, and then off to a spot.
Almost don't even know if he's gonna acknowledge his presence.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I think what I would love for him to do is just sort of like everybody else, just a fist bump, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He goes down to the end of the court.
I think that's what he's gonna do. If I had to guess, that's
because you think maybe KD will tear up a little
if he just no.
KD will try and hug him. I think.
Yeah.
Like do the whatever
sad.
Shake.
He's gonna be
hug.
A little sad if he doesn't get a hug.
But KD knows Russ better than any of
that's
us
true.
Do.
That's
so he
true.
So he's
probably expecting
has a,
him. Not
he has
to
a good that. Idea what is coming. I would think. Okay, let's get into it. Trade today happened.
Woo!
Ersan Ilyasova just beginning to win some Thunder fans over.
See you, bro.
Out the door today.
You and your hot wife get out of here.
Him and his $8.4 million contract, which was expiring, they said to Philly, and a protected 2020 first round pick that's protected picks 1 through 20, and if it falls outside of that, wait, hold on, I'm losing myself. If Philly doesn't get the pick, then it turns into 2 second rounders in
correct.
2022 and 2023. In return, OKC gets Jeremy Grant, a largely unknown player in the NBA, unless you watch it religiously.
And watch Sixers games all the time.
That is a huge, huge deal.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Here's one thing I will say. It's not. You're right. It's not.
But
for such a small deal, it has the potential to have huge implications and ramifications.
Yeah.
So, because I think most people would say this is a deal setting up a larger deal because it frees cap space up right now. Frees up $8 million and it creates a $7.5 million trade exception. Which the Thunder can use to their advantage.
Indeed.
So is that what Presti, you think Presti's doing that?
Has to be.
It had to have been money. Because
it has
didn't
to be.
Get better shooting.
No. I mean, got worse shooting.
That's what they keep bringing in though, right? I mean, that's...
Worse shooters?
Well, guys that are athletic, that can defend, that can't shoot. And I mean...
So if we ignore the money side of this, and because I think conventional wisdom tells you that it's all about the money here, and it's all about creating flexibility this year and trade possibilities this year. But let's ignore that for a second and just look at the team. You think that there's anything to, like what you're saying, Rob, Presti bringing in these guys that can't shoot, but they're athletic, they're young? Is he trying to go against the grain here, trying to fight these teams that can shoot by doing something that they can't do as well as the Thunder can do by attacking the rim?
We can just ram the ball down people's throat.
Yeah, is that something that Presti is maybe trying to do going forward, or is that stupid?
I don't know. Go ahead.
I mean, I kind of think that they definitely are, like, we've kind of talked about this a little bit amongst ourselves, and I feel like we're definitely going against the grain of, like, small ball and, like, three-point shooting for sure. Like, that's, our team is not that. It's the opposite. And I don't know why you would necessarily, if you were just trying to keep your shooters that you have, like, why you would send Ersan away, because he was doing a decent job. But, like, it might make sense. You know, it's like a copycat league. So, like, say we go out there and somehow are able to stop these teams that are just bombing from three, even though we can't defend the three-point line. So that seems like something you would try to do.
Yeah, but hopefully he'll help with that. I mean, I don't know how much time I think he's actually going to get.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't think a bunch of minutes.
I'm going to interrupt you just real quick, because I do wonder about that too, because I think that right now he is versatile defensively, and right now he's the only power forward on this Thunder roster that can actually guard mobile fours and mobile threes. I feel like they can play that power forward spot. But I'm with you. I don't know how much he's going to play.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to get. I think most of those minutes will probably go. I hope they go to Cantor, even though he didn't look so good in their last game.
But it's like who was the Thunder playing the other night? They had a mobile four, and it presented problems.
Julius Randle. They struggled to guard Julius Randle from.
I want to say. Oh yeah, I think it was the Suns. It was with Dudley, a guy that can roam the perimeter. It's like hard.
He scored a bunch of points.
It's hard to stick Cantor on guys like that, you know, because
like stretch fours.
Right. So I don't know, but I don't know how much time he's gonna get either. But maybe he'll surprise us. But maybe like what we're talking about, going against the grain, going against the shooting fad. It's like if you don't do something well, why try to even mimic that?
Yeah, because we don't have the personnel for it.
Yeah. Like, so why not just go.
Totally opposite.
And just totally focus on what you do well. Do well. Nice. That's deserving of some sort of sounder.
Bang!
Wasn't expecting that one, but it one works.
But I actually, it was TJ Warren that I was thinking of that when we played the Suns, Dudley. But I think, I don't know. I mean, it's hard because I just don't see really what he's going to provide over other guys. I don't see how you can give him minutes, especially at four, which I don't know that we've seen Joffrey play limited. You know, he hasn't, I don't think he's played in every game.
No.
But he didn't play in the first game. And,
correct.
And so I don't know. I don't know that I really want him to get more minutes, but to say that Jeremy Grant is
the answer
or something is going to fill a need that they've been missing. I don't really see.
Yeah,
that.
I don't think that's what this trade is. I mean,
I think that's why we were all kind of confused today when it happened. Is like we were like, if you see a trade for us, we're like, oh, what need does that fill? And like you said, it doesn't.
The thing that's perplexing though is that reports were saying today that the Thunder have been after Grant for months. Yeah, so it's like, well, Presti sees something in this guy that he likes. He has a non-guaranteed contract that's not guaranteed until I think January 17th. But hold on, I got some Jeremy Grant facts for you.
Ooh.
That you may or may not know already. He went to high school with Victor Oladipo. He dunked the ball 75 times last year.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's
so a little less than one a game. Yeah, that's pretty good. On May 17th, 2011, he tweeted, Westbrook is doo-doo. So hopefully Westbrook doesn't see that or hold grudges. Yeah, his uncle is four-time NBA champion, Horace Grant.
Ooh.
His brother plays for the Bulls, Jerian Grant.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That guy.
Very similar names, kind of, I guess. He was the 39th pick in the 2014 draft, and he wears number 39 like some sort of psychopath.
Oh.
I don't. Why would you wear number 39? That's not a basketball number.
I wish he would bring. I wish he would wear the goggles like Horace Grant.
You think he might?
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Could we get him
some? He just starts doing that.
Just starts doing it.
What if we got him some? Like, we pulled together as a community and got him horse grand goggles.
As a community? The $20, $25?
Yeah, everyone,
we're going to start a Kickstarter, guys. It's happening.
I mean, you know, those high-end goggles, they might run pretty expensive.
Yeah.
You never know. Okay, but I think this trade presents a question. It's like, what is Presti's plan here? So here's, I got a little game for you guys. And I'm going to read off this list of players on the roster right now. And I want you to tell me if they're a part of the Thunder's future, as in 4 years from now, 4 or 5 years from now, or if they're not future. So answer just future or no future.
Got it.
Alex Abrines, future or no future?
Future.
Future.
Okay. Samaje Christian, future or not future?
Not future.
Jeremy Grant?
Not future.
You just think so that kind of tells you a little bit right there. I mean, Josh Huestis.
Future?
I go not future.
I'll say not future.
I'm very much on the fence on that guy.
Yeah, I think we all are.
I mean, probably. We haven't seen him yet. I don't even think he's dressed so far.
That's true. Yeah, he didn't there last year.
Enes Kanter. This is a tough one. I mean, 4 or 5 years from now, it's hard to see him in a Thunder uniform for me.
Not future.
I'll say not future.
Joffrey Laverne.
Not future.
Probably not future.
I'll go future there.
I'd like to see him.
Anthony Morrow. Not future?
No, not future. Not future.
He's gonna
Cameron
retire.
Payne.
Future.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope future.
I hope so too. Andre Robertson.
Yeah.
Future.
Future.
Well, Sabonis.
He didn't get
future.
His monies, but.
Yeah,
Sabonis,
definitely future.
Future yeah.
And now the toughest one, Kyle Singler.
I mean, you said 4 or 5 years? Because he's...
He's just hitting prime, bro. He's just
Yeah, no, he's under 11-year contract. I'm pretty sure.
He's here forever.
Okay, now it's time to bring back something we haven't done in a long time because the season hasn't been
our favorite.
Here. Is it our favorite? I don't know. Well, it's yet to be determined.
Damn. Throwing shade at you, bro.
The return of Rob's Rundown.
All right, so we have 3 games to talk about. As this new season is upon us, the first game that we have was in Philadelphia.
Are you prepared for this?
Was in Philadelphia, which
it was.
Watching that crowd, I mean, that crowd was insane for Philadelphia.
It was
the Philly
that was
crowd,
fun. That was
and
fun.
They were really excited.
They're out
to
there trusting the process.
Yeah, they really wanted to watch Embiid play, which I think he's going to be a really good player. I mean, I know he's trying to come back from injury, but
he's got moves. Good. He's got offensive skills. And I mean, I think he tries to do too much at times.
He's also on my fantasy team, so.
Okay. So the Thunder trailed for most of the game, mostly due to a slow start in the first quarter, which they trailed by 11 during the first quarter at one point. And they also had a slow third quarter, which they only scored 18 points. So I think, you know, starting the game, coming out of the third quarter, they definitely need to work on that. A good sign was the great fourth quarter, which they outscored Philly by 12. And for me, you know, there were games last year like this where, you know, I think they have more talent, obviously, and games that they shouldn't drop. And so it was nice that in this, you know, this fourth quarter, they stepped up. They outscored them by 12. Down the stretch, we saw Russ pretty much take over. The defense really stepped up. Robertson had a nice block with under a minute left. And then this was a game Oladipo took a charge that pretty much ended the game. Russ finished one assist shy of a triple-double and Thunder win 103-97.
I think that might have been Russ's clutchest game I've ever seen him play at the end of that game.
Like multiple times down the court. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't punch a fan in the face. That flipped him off profusely.
Yeah, he just pointed.
Very, very heavily.
And of these 3 games we're going into, he took the least amount of shots I think he took in any game. But anyways.
Yeah.
So the next game was Phoenix at home. And so, reoccurring theme here for this rundown, slow starts. The Thunder gave up 40 first quarter points and trailed at one point by 18. The first home game of the season, so that's, I mean, obviously that's not what you wanted to see. The Thunder kept having to dig themselves out of holes as they trailed by double digits for most of the first half. They actually didn't get their first lead. I didn't realize this until I looked it back up. They didn't get their first lead in the game until halfway, just about a little over halfway through the fourth quarter. This one goes to overtime where the Thunder turned the ball over for the first 3 possessions and got down by 4. In the waning seconds of the game, Bledsoe puts the Suns up by 1 And then Russ sprints down the court, which was kind of crazy. I was a little nervous about this. Sprints down the court, you know, makes the layup, puts the Thunder back up by one. And then you have Roberson again on defense, getting another block.
On a blown defensive play at that, too. Like, he got around Adams, and then Roberson had to take a kind of like a detour to the rim and met him there. It was beautiful.
Russ
and token player for the Suns to, you know, go off TJ Warren.
Yeah. So Russ hits two free throws. Finishes the triple-double, 51 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. Thunder win 113 to 110. That's a huge, I mean, 51 points.
On 44 shots.
Yeah, I mean.
But still, though, a triple-double with 51 points.
And without the things he did, the Thunder lose that game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of can't talk shit on him.
So one stat that I had for the first two games, Thunder offensive rebounding advantage, 27 to 12. It was really impressive.
That is.
Nice.
And at the same time, I mean, I tweeted out a stat. I think I tweeted it out, but they're rebounding at a lower rate than they did last year still, even with that advantage that you're talking about.
Crazy. So then we had the Lakers at home. Thunder started out slow again, trailing by 8 about halfway through the first quarter. Before the first quarter was over, Thunder gained the lead and never looked back. Got a little sloppy in the third quarter, which, again, sort of what happened in game one. They didn't come out and play very good out of the half. They took the lead. They took a 6-point lead into the fourth, and then the Thunder have been really playing well in the fourth quarters of each of the first three games.
Opposite of last year.
I know. It's really weird.
It's nice.
So another thing, another stat I had here, the Thunder win that game 113 to 96, go to 3-0 in the season. Another stat I had there, these first three games, they've scored 95 points in the fourth quarters. Combined, they've scored a total.
They've been great in the fourth quarter. They've been terrible in first quarter and great in fourth quarter.
Yeah, third quarter hasn't been great in two of the games, and then the fourth quarter has been incredible.
The only thing that really bugged me over these three games was at the end of the Suns game. Donovan went with that lineup. What was it? Russ, Roberson, Singler, Adams, and Oladipo. For like what? I mean, 15 straight game minutes, right? Because they were playing well. They got him back in the game. And then they didn't score for like 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was a while.
And he just kept rolling. I mean, it worked. They won the game. But it was just like at the end of the game. I think we talked about how do you not put in Morrow right here?
It was like kind of tough though because it's at the end of the game. Those guys are the ones that you've been playing
and sitting,
but
forever,
yeah, trying to just hope just that somebody Morrow, bring off. Yeah.
Well, and also maybe he's trying to build up that chemistry, the late game chemistry between those guys who are going to be out there. Later
so Singler's
on.
Part of that, you think?
Well, maybe not him, but.
I don't know.
God, it's just it. Singler hasn't been terrible this year. He's not shooting the ball well, obviously. But
shocker.
Everything else, he's doing okay.
What happened to that preseason shooting, man?
Well, did anyone actually feel good about it? I mean,
but last year he was unplayable. At least this year he's still able to do the other things. His defense hasn't been terrible.
Yeah,
so.
This so far these first three games remind me of that 2-week stretch he went on last year where he played okay. And then everything else. So, I mean, hopefully he just sustains it and maybe he'll find his rhythm shooting the ball. Another thing, can Russ keep this up, though? I mean,
yes.
Do you want him to? Is it good
not
for this team?
I mean, I want him to keep doing, getting all the stuff done.
Because it's fun.
And it's amazing.
I mean, it's awesome
but
to
I would
watch.
But I just want some other people to step up and help more. I feel like Depot and Adams kind of stepped up and helped a little bit more. You know, they kind of got in there scoring wise.
But some of that falls on Russ a little bit too, though, right? I mean, when he completely takes over a game,
right,
whether good or bad or whatever, it's also his job to get the other guys involved. I mean, I think that's part of why they brought in Oladipo to help take some burden off of Russ's shoulders in handling the ball.
But I mean, against the Lakers, you had four guys in double figures. Depot with 20 and Cantor with 16.
Yeah, I will say though,
Roberson had 8. That's
Oladipo nice. Scored 20 plus in two of the three games. But you know, that's mostly happened in the first half.
Right.
And to your point, Brandon, that Suns game was where it sort of tell it was too much, where he was trying to do too much.
Yeah.
That was the 44
and
shot
I think
game.
He admitted it after the game. He said he
and Donovan was saying, you know, we can't have this be his workload all the time. Like so but, I think you kind of saw that correction in the Lakers game. That's what I was kind of getting at. I think they're already...
That was their best game of the three, for
sure. I think they're already
sure.
working on fixing it. So hopefully they...
I was worried about that Lakers game. I mean, Lakers have young talent, and I was worried, you know, if the Thunder don't come to play defensively, They could get beat, but
that's a team that's trying to gel together too, though. I mean, right. they brought in quite a few guys in the offseason too. So, but I was worried, I think, more so of the circumstance of sort of, you know, the first two games, the way that they looked, and then, you know, going out to LA, looking forward to having LA come here, looking forward to going out to LA, playing the Clippers and the Warriors, to sort of you look past it, but they didn't. Yeah. They led most of that game, almost all of that game.
You know who's bad? Luol Deng.
Definitely falling off.
I mean, he just doesn't look like he has anymore. Okay, you know, I had a whole thing prepared for Sabonis versus Ilyasova. Like, does Ilyasova have a chance to get in this starting lineup?
I'll take that one. He does not.
Yeah, he's gone now. So Sabonis is the starter.
Yeah.
This is what they're doing. He hasn't been just terrible. He's not hurting the team like crazy, but he's not making an impact.
Well, the foul trouble, which you kind of expect with a young player trying to adjust to the NBA.
And a lot of them are ticky-tack. He's not getting the benefit of the whistle from the officials, which is going to happen with a rookie.
Yeah, and it's just like Payne last year. We saw him anytime he was in the game. He would get all these little tiny fouls that I think eventually, I guess through the season, you kind of learn, oh, I can't. My body can't be there.
Well, and the pace of the game is different. You got to catch up to that.
There's an adjustment they have to make. So,
right.
But I like that they're giving him the time to figure that out. So
I think they should really try to make an effort to get him more involved offensively early.
Yeah.
Maybe get him engaged in the offense a little bit.
Kind of do what we used to do with Ibaka, like get him the first several shots or something like that.
Yeah, he had a nice move. I feel like it was against the Lakers where it wasn't a play design for him, but he kind of got stuck with the ball in an open area on the court, and he made some nice shuffles underneath and kind of held the ball a little bit too long. But you see his footwork. He's got great footwork. I'd like to see him on the block there a little bit in good spots.
Who picks up those minutes? I know you were talking about maybe Ilyasova getting in the starting lineup.
Ilyasova's played 21 minutes a game so far. It's a lot to make up.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think Laverne's going to get more, right? He's going to pick up more. Possibly Cantor, who's played less minutes than Ilyasova.
Yeah, that's
point.
What I was going to say.
Yeah, I would say.
But that, a large part Cantor of that is because Cantor got straight up benched versus the Suns. I mean, he came in and he was not making an impact defensively and they just benched him.
Well, how many minutes? You say he played 12 minutes, just over 12 minutes in that game.
Cantor?
Yeah.
That's in the Suns game? Yeah, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure only about two of those were in the second half.
Yeah, it was not good.
He could not figure it out on the court while he was.
And that, I mean, that's that the almost thing leads with him. Towards that. That trade concept you were talking about, like trying to get his contract out of here. But
well, back to Rob's point. I mean, what about maybe Robertson playing the four a little bit more maybe? And honestly, I mean, Grant, I mean, he's going to play. I think he's going to play a little bit.
What do you mean by a little bit? Like how much, like ballpark, you just
10, 12 minutes?
10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I could see.
I mean, I feel like if they've been looking at him for months, like something's happening.
The thing that, so here's my problem with that.
Donovan's going to see what he has in him.
Donovan talked about they want to get out and run, and that's good. You know, it looks good while they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about that is they are, whenever they get out and run, they're getting open three pointers on those breaks where it's like a 3-on-4, and one of the guys is open. Well, I don't know. It's frustrating because they're wide open shots, but they're not able to hit them. Mm-hmm. They're just not.
And now Ilyasova's gone. Yeah. Which, not to mention, shooting like you just did, but his outlet passing has been terrific so far. And that's another element they're losing because Cantor can't outlet pass.
He can't even just like regular Adams, inbound pass.
Adams might be able to learn that, but they like to get Adams get going up the court, you know, because he's so big.
Yeah,
and
it's been so effective that just getting out and running, it creates so much pressure, you know, to get the play going.
I wonder how many assists Russ would have if we actually could shoot.
Yeah.
It'd be incredible.
The Thunder started the season at 76ers with a 10-man rotation because they played Abrinas a decent amount. Then they pulled it back to 9 in the Suns and Lakers. So I want to ask you guys, like, what are your thoughts on limited minutes for Moore and Abrinas? Because I think we all thought one of those two was going
like to
play.
See one of them out there.
And now pretty much neither of them are playing. I would think Donovan's going to go. So, I mean, Morrow came in the other night and played great. But Royce Young made a good point. He said the only reason Morrow played is because they put in Calderon and he had someone to guard. Yeah.
Right.
And that's the only reason
he played. Six minutes.
He scored 6 points.
Yeah, just under 6 minutes. But I don't know. I mean, I think out of those two, from what I've seen so far, I think one of them has to be out there, especially with getting rid of Ilyasova.
Yeah.
Like, one of those two has to be able to play.
I like Abrinas, man. I mean, when you watch him, even now, he hasn't played much, but when he's in there, he's not hurting the team. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
The other night, was that the Suns game where he got that and one? Or that Lakers at the very end of the game?
Like, yeah, very
I thought he was going to get knocked down by the guy, and he ends up like going through the play and scoring.
And yeah, before the Suns game, I was watching the warm-ups. I was at the game. He threw down a pretty sick reverse tomahawk jam, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, he can jump.
Yeah, he's got some hops on him. And then what about last one, talking about this stuff? Samaje Christian. What are your thoughts on him right now? How's he doing? I miss Cameron Payne like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I appreciate the way Christian plays and the effort he puts forth, but God, when he shoots the ball, it's horrific.
It's rough. I mean, I feel like as a player brought up from the D League who typically would be a third, fourth string player, like I think he's doing a really decent job. Like you said, I miss Payne.
Is it surprising to you, Rob, like the minutes he's getting though? I think
what is most surprising to me is that they haven't been able to rely on Oladipo like I thought that they would be able to. Like I was hoping that he would, like you said earlier, take some pressure off of Russ and be able to facilitate better. But it seems like more often than not, whenever he gets a pick and roll, especially while Russ isn't on the court, he's either shooting it right off of the pick or he's driving and going one on two or one on three, and it doesn't work. Now, he's passing it occasionally, but
I have
it's not enough.
The past couple of games, he's made a few more passes to the bigs, to Adams inside, little pocket passes and stuff. He's not necessarily getting them in great position, but he's at least looking for the pass. So I think it'll get there, you know.
How many assists does he have so far?
Well, he is averaging 2.3 a game, so that means he has 7 total assists.
Seven out of the 3 games, yeah.
It's got to be higher.
I thought, like, even if it's just around 4 a game, I mean, I think that's what you would take. But it's not there. And I don't think it's necessarily that he's trying to, the problem is he's not trying to make plays. He's just not passing the ball enough.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he came into the league as a point guard, and he's averaging a turnover more than an assist a game right now.
Not the best.
You can't be doing that. And I know he's getting comfortable. One thing he's been doing well is cutting backdoor, you know, just finding good backdoor cuts, and Russ is hitting them. So as long as he continues to do that, it'll be effective while he's on the court, but we need more out of Victor Oladipo. And then the other big news that came out yesterday on Hallows Eve, Steven Adams and Victor Oladipo, speaking of, got big extensions, 4 years, $100 million for Adams, 4 years, $84 million. Oladipo, these are the guys of the future. Pretty pumped about it, or are you just kind of like, you know?
No, I'm stoked about it. Yeah, for sure. I'm super happy that we're going to keep Adams for a while. I'm glad that we didn't max out Depot. What did he take? How much under the max?
I think like approximately 21? In total, $21 million under the max. So you're talking about $5 million a year.
Because he
under the
max. Said that he was wanting to go for the max, obviously.
Yeah, reports came out before that he even played a preseason game in a Thunder uniform.
Right. And so that was nice that we like were able to save money there. Adams didn't take the full thing, so that's nice. But
he didn't take the full thing.
The full thing, didn't take it
his
all.
His was just barely under max, right?
Just barely.
The tip of the...
I think they said his is, what did they say?
Six or something like that.
So, I mean, either way, this team, the money is not there. It's not going to be there. They get a lot of work to do if they want to free up cap space. I mean, they're not going to get a max player in the offseason unless they do something crazy that Pressey has up his sleeve. I mean, I don't know how he could possibly do it. I mean, they could do it this year by trading for one.
Yeah.
But that's it. And then you're talking crazy tax money in the following years. If you're willing to do it.
It might be time to go into the tax.
Well, they went into the tax, what, 2 straight years with KD? Is that right? I think so.
Yeah.
Or because they were luxury tax repeaters, I think.
We go ahead and lay off the tax for 1 year and then get back in it.
Yeah. Then get back in it. Yeah. It was fun when that happened.
I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, they got the money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'll be fine.
Adams is, I mean, he's going to be like the face of this franchise next to Russell Westbrook. I mean, is any part of this kind of, you know, locking up Oladipo like that, is that kind of also as insurance just in case Russ does
at least you have
go down
something.
The road? I mean, the thing is I think if Russ plans to move on when his time comes, he'll let Presti know. And I think Presti...
Same thing we said about KD.
Yeah, like, no, you're right.
I said it verbatim. Like, I thought KD would do the same thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Turns out he's a dick.
Well, hopefully he would, and then Presti could get something in return for him. I mean, I don't even want to think about that day right now. But
I don't think I can't.
But it's nice to see we at least have some sort of vision of the Thunder future.
Right.
You know?
There's a little, some plans going.
Even though, like, the way they're playing on the court, it's hard to really process right now because it's just so scattered and nothing's, there's no flow really right now. It's just kind of rust against the world.
But it's just, I try to keep reminding myself this every, like, almost every second of the game that I'm watching. I'm just like, this is going to take time. Like we said, you just got to keep saying it and it's ugly.
It's
going to take a while.
There is a sort of calming effect to not having crazy expectations, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like I still have those expectations.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't.
I'm trying to like, that's what I'm saying is I'm trying to like reel those in and be like, remember.
Yeah. I mean, even when they were losing the Suns the other night, I was like, okay, they're probably going to lose this game.
It's okay. It happens. It's a nice comeback, though. 82 games. So, and they've done well against bad teams. Yeah.
3-0, but will that continue? Because this week, Clippers tomorrow night, or tonight if you're listening tomorrow. Back to back versus the Warriors. Much anticipated. And then the T-Wolves at home on Saturday, which is a 5:00 start, which is kind of interesting. I guess they're doing it to try to reel in international viewers.
Oh, yeah. How they're doing those earlier games.
But I think they were saying that's still a midnight start time.
Reel them in.
I guess it's Saturday, though, so they might be partying at the
pub. The disco. Le disco.
It's big in Europe right now. Promise. Google it.
No, that's what they call their clubs. It's discos.
So right off the
Jesus
bat.
Christ.
I believe you.
What do you expect here record-wise? 1-2?
I'm going 2-0, boys.
2-0 and three games, baby.
There's three games. You're only watching two of them. Yeah,
I'm
not watching
that Thursday game. I'm just going to block that from my brain.
I mean, realistically, that's what we should expect, right?
It's really hard for me not to be optimistic.
We know.
I really think they can beat the Clippers.
I think they can.
No, I mean like...
No, I watched the Clippers the other day. They were
It'd be sweet if they went to Oracle and won that game too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Warriors have been in a close game every single time.
Can we discuss Except like, against how the Spurs. Awesome
well,
that
they
got
beat by the Spurs, yeah.
What?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
It'd be great. That'd be incredible.
That would be... I feel like everybody would freak out.
Is this what we're doing the rest of... That would be great.
That would be great.
Yeah. The rest of the
how
pod.
Great would it be? Like, would it be...
I'm telling you right now, it'd be great.
Huge. It'd be huge.
I'll go 2-1. I think they beat the Clippers, and I think they beat the Timberwolves. Which, the Timberwolves, it's not a gimme. Anyway, I mean, they should beat the Timberwolves, but it's not like it's a for sure thing.
No, not at all. I mean, the Timberwolves came to Oklahoma City last year and beat them on a Rubio 3.
We honestly could get our... Maybe set ourselves up for 0-3. But I don't
want to. It's what the Thunder did last year. They started 3-0 and then they lost 3-0.
Yeah. I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
I'm trying to not pick what Rob picked, even though I want to real bad.
2-1.
I just want to.
One thing I would say in the Warriors game is I really hope the Thunder keep it close. Even if they lose,
if they can be competitive.
Keep it close. I don't know. It sends a little bit of a message. It says, we're here. You know, we're going to compete. I don't know. You know, instead of getting blown out and it's kind of embarrassing. Like,
yeah, that would suck.
Katie's punk ass, you know, blows you out.
Like if you lose by like 29 points.
That'll be really bad. I mean,
nice. At Oracle.
Subtle jab.
because the Suns, who they just beat. Well, obviously, I mean, but the Suns got up on them by 18 points. But the Suns just took the war. Yeah, it's a close game against the Warriors just the other night. So if
Warriors play the Blazers tonight.
If they get blown out, that'll be extremely disappointing if they get blown out by the Warriors.
The bad thing for the Thunder is it's on the second night of a back-to-back.
That's our excuse.
That is the excuse, but what a bummer that is. Yeah. It'd be nice to be rested and have like a nice practice session
the Clippers before, so you're going to be tired as hell.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun to watch that Clippers matchup, though, because Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan down low, that's the strength of this Thunder team, you know, aside from Russell Westbrook now, is the bigs. You got Adams, Jordan, that's a great matchup. And then you can actually bring in Cantor to mess around with Blake Griffin a little bit, I think.
Sure.
So,
you could even do, well, Cantor would probably guard DeAndre, I would think. And then you would have...
The only thing that scares me is the lob in that scenario.
Yeah.
He's going to have to keep his body on him. To just getting destroyed in the lob.
Yeah.
Probably see a bit of that.
Isn't it amazing how Cantor hardly can jump, but he's so effective on the block on offense?
Strange.
I mean, he doesn't dunk the ball very often. The only time he dunks it is really in like on a fast break in transition if he has a running start. That's it.
And a trampoline. Yeah. They like slide out the little
half-time.
Team.
Like the halftime guys.
And then he gets like pumped up about it. Like, dude, you use a trampoline. It's not really that cool.
It's not okay.
It does drive you crazy though, because when Cantor has a more athletic guy guarding him, he gets a shot blocked a lot. But
yeah,
he can also trick him with his footwork. It's nice.
He can. And he gets stripped a lot though.
Let's get to some Twitter questions.
You wanna do some Twitters?
Some Twitters.
Tweets.
Is that where we're at?
Tweets, 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 tweets. All right, guys. At KKDK012 says, what does Andre's lack of extension tell us?
This is something I meant to bring up.
Yeah, we actually kind of passed over that.
Yeah, we did. But Barry Trammell actually said that Robertson's camp was seeking a 4-year, $60 million, which is $15 million a year. It's too much in my mind. I don't think you pay Robertson $15 million a year. I don't think you can.
Think 10, 12 maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I mean, would throw him.
Honestly, I had it in my mind. I was like, if they can convince him to stay under 10, I know it's crazy to ask in this market, but there's not going to be a huge market for him because
he can't shoot.
He can't shoot at all. And that's
what everybody wants.
And free throws even. Like,
yeah.
What is he shooting from the free throw line? 37.5%.
It's not good. Didn't he miss both of them the other day? Fuck, the Suns announcers laughed at him the other day. Because I was watching the Suns broadcast because I was in LA, and they were like, miss both of them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that hurts.
His shot looks so broke at this point.
Yeah.
But back to the tweeter's question.
Right.
What it tells me is that he was wanting more money than the Thunder were willing to give at this time.
So they're going to let him not get an offer sheet. That's part of it,
is letting him see. Mm-hmm. The only way you can really prove it to him is, go see what else you can get.
Yeah, check out
but
the market.
That's the risk that they're running is that he's...
But he's going to be restricted, so they can match.
Did we both say future for Robertson on the game?
I didn't. He was... Oh, no.
Yeah, we said future.
Yeah.
I think he'll stay.
I do. But what if he... I mean, if he gets that money from somebody else, then...
Maybe not.
And I guess...
Yeah, he's going to take the money. I mean,
I guess
a guy
from
like
the
him.
Thunder's perspective, there's nothing really lost there because you don't have to... I think if you give him $15 million, what they wanted... If he gets that from somebody else, then you have the decision, okay, you know, that's market value.
Right, exactly.
But if you do it now, you don't know.
And the thing about that, if he hits the market and someone gives him $15 million a year, $17 million a year, and the Thunder don't want to do that, I think they'll be able to bring in a veteran that plays defense, maybe not quite as good as him, but a veteran that plays defense for a cheaper price than that, like a mid-level exception, that'll want to come join a good team.
Probably.
You keep working on Eustace and you've got this Grant fella.
Right. I mean, there's that's you can do there. That too, but, you know, it's nice to have the veterans in there. And if you can get one to sign for less, then I think that's
but
totally
obviously
doable.
They want to keep Robertson. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Just the price has to be, this price still has to be.
They're not going to overpay Robertson, I don't think. I don't think it's worth it.
I don't think he's, anyways. Yeah.
I don't think.
.. At Burn One Trump is.
That's good.
That's pretty nice. Is Cantor for sure gone? That was the number 4, just so you know.
Okay. Thanks for visualizing that for us.
Yeah. Your prediction after the first 20 games, I'll say 15
Wait,
and 5.
Hold on. So
this is two separate questions.
All right. What's the first one?
Is Cantor for sure gone?
No.
Rob?
No.
This is for
Not
sure.
For sure.
Not for sure.
Not
but
for
he,
sure.
He's a... I mean, he's definitely the biggest candidate, I think, that the Thunder are dangling out there.
What's the percentage you put it at?
50.
Really? Yeah. I think I've changed the... I think you're I'm 60-40.
Woo!
60-40 gets traded?
Yeah.
This year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely going to explore options, but I think that, you know, other teams are going to be able to sense desperation, too.
Right.
And so if they're like, they need to get rid of this guy so bad because they're trying to clear up the space...
Then they don't have to give up so much.
That's what I mean. So the thing that's been going around... Cantor and Payne for Rudy Gay.
So when I first heard that, I didn't love that.
I just
because
like Payne so much.
Maybe like 2-3 years ago, that would have been awesome, I think. But I don't know if I don't know. The more that I think about it, the more I actually kind of wouldn't be opposed to it.
I'm trying to talk myself into it, but I just don't think... I don't know if Rudy Gay is a winning player. I know that our team... The Thunder would be better with Rudy Gay, I think, than they are now.
Probably.
But to me, how old is Rüdiger? 32, 31?
He's up there somewhere, right?
To me, if he doesn't, if you don't have a team that upon acquiring Rüdiger, upon acquiring Rüdiger makes you a legit championship right. contender, then I don't understand the point. Because you're what's his salary? Can you look that up?
$19.32 million.
So it's just a little bit more than Kanter. And I would say that is he more of an impact player than Enes Kanter?
I definitely think so.
Yeah. He can play
and
defense.
He fills a bigger need for the Thunder than Enes Kanter does.
That's the biggest part.
Well, I think the thing that holds me back is the Cameron Payne, right?
That's what I don't like. Is because I really like Cam. Which, I think I might overvalue Cam, though.
Maybe, but it's clear watching the Thunder right now how big of an impact he could make right. if healthy on this team. Because watching Samaje handle the ball is fine, but God, you need a guy that can make plays on that second mm-hmm. team, and Cameron Payne can do that. I am a little worried about how he's going to look when he returns from injury.
Yeah,
is he going to be rusty?
But is he going to be injury prone?
Because a large part of a large part of his game is based on confidence, right? He's always carrying himself with great confidence.
I don't think that's going anywhere.
I hope not.
Dude, he has that in spades. So, okay. So then the second part of this question is your prediction after the first 20 games. This guy thinks they'll be 15-5.
I didn't look at it. I don't know the schedule off the top of my head, but that sounds good, guy.
That sounds better than I expect.
I mean, they get the Clippers, the Warriors. They have the Heat, the Raptors, then the Clippers again. And then I think they go through a couple that are winnable games. The Magic, Pistons, the Nets, the Lakers again, the Kings. So, I mean,
Those are wins.
I would say 5-7 losses.
Yeah, because I think they'll lose that Raptors game.
I think that's a huge, huge win. It's a huge, huge deal.
Huge, huge deal.
If they go 15-5. I mean, that's big. That's awesome. You know, that's a four seed right there.
I know that they have the Warriors. We got the Clippers twice in that stretch, but that's actually one of the easier stretches throughout their schedule
right
too.
Now is,
so
right now. Okay. So at Nat 3004, besides Westbrook, who have you been most impressed by? I think Robertson has been killing it lately. I would agree with you, Nat.
Yeah, Robertson's definitely a good candidate besides the free throw percentage that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I would have considered Ilyasova. I mean, I like the impact that he's made, you know, regardless of his stats not really telling the whole story.
That was long.
Just from watching the games, completely agree. I think I would have said Ilyasova. Mm-hmm. But stats-wise, it's not there. But
yeah, like, was it the Lakers game? 0 points, 0-for-5 from the field. But he made a huge impact that game, mm-hmm. regardless of the stats.
And not being able to look at the stat sheet, I would not have guessed that he hadn't made a shot.
Yeah.
Just because, he was so impactful with getting rebounds, playing decent defense, and like you said earlier, outlet passes that were getting the run going. So,
what a bummer.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to him playing with them. I mean, I think I understand what Presti's trying to do, but I was excited about Ilyasova on this team.
So, Robertson?
Sure. Yeah. There doesn't have to be an absolute.
Also,
answer,
I think Adams has been a little disappointing at times this
season.
Well,
with his butterfingers.
I think the biggest thing is only shooting 44% from the field, right?
Yeah. Maybe the money will calm him down.
100% from the line, though. Huh? That stroke's looking good.
That's nice.
Yeah. Okay. Bouncing out to that mid-range game.
At AM Jump Shot. I think Russ is going to want to guard KD. Depot on Curry, Robertson on Clay. Think it could work? I just have a feeling.
Yeah, I mean, they might get caught in a situation like that, but I don't think that's how you're starting the game.
I hope that's not what their game plan is going in.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. I think it'll be Russ on
Curry.
Turns
out he's way taller.
Robertson on KD, which is going to be fun. I'm excited about that. And Depot on Clay.
Wouldn't it be awesome to see Robertson lock down KD like Kawhi did? I mean, he didn't lock him down. Totally, but he held him to 25. It's pretty decent.
So Jeremy Grant's coming in.
Will he be available by then?
Yeah. I'm sure he'll do his physical tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He'll be available.
Good.
So, I mean, I don't know if somebody else is going to play him. But, no, I think Russ for long stretches on KD would be
Could we trade for
terrible.
Kawhi real quick?
Yeah, really terrible. Russ is way too much of a roamer.
Bros.
I mean, KD will be open way too often.
Kanter and Dre for Kawhi. Let's do it. And Payne. Send them. Bring in Patty and Kawhi.
I'm down.
The Spurs might throw a wrench in that.
I don't think so. I think the
who says no.
Pop raises his hand. At Cungerland, our buddy there, with this week's heated matchup with the bag of dicks.
That's actually pretty
good. That's amazing. AKA Warriors. What's the over-under on flagrant fouls in this game?
That's a good question. And I want to amend the question slightly. Let's throw in text, too. Flagrant fouls, text. Okay. You know, what's the over under here?
I mean, they're gonna set the tone before the game starts. Like they're gonna tell them,
the
NBA is aware of it. Yeah.
They're gonna try to control the game.
Yeah.
So they're gonna be calling it tight, I think.
I'll say 3.
Ooh, that's a high one. That's a good number, though.
I think you're gonna get a double technical foul.
Adams Green or something like that.
Those dudes are gonna get a double tech for sure.
Are you guys nervous about this game? I feel like I'm going to be really nervous.
I'm already getting nervous. Yeah. I'm just talking about it.
You're nervous.
I just pissed myself.
Nervous because what?
I don't really know.
I just don't want them to get... Because my nervousness isn't... I'll be nervous. I was nervous last year whenever they were, you know, they were so good and we just wanted to go in there and beat them because we thought we were better.
But now it's like a whole nother level.
It's the KD thing for me. Yeah. I mean, it's just the awkwardness and just... That's what makes me nervous.
It's palpable. Like it's going to be
I really want Russ to look good too. I want him to carry himself well and not and
just.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it'd
what
be
I mean?
Awesome if he had. I don't want KD
to come out looking like the bigger person. I want Russ to look like the bigger person.
I want KD to look shitty. That's what I'm like. Honestly,
worst case scenario is it comes down to Russ at the end, and he just turned. I mean, he's just not capable of pulling it off. I think.
Don't you?
They've been so good in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then against
bad
teams.
But wouldn't it be great either if KD had like 10 turnovers, because I mean, that's expected.
Yeah.
Or if he misses the dagger at the end and we win.
Oh, yeah.
That feels good.
Yeah.
I like that.
So we released some polls this week.
We got one. It's the same guy. Yeah, he doesn't get two.
We released some polls this week, and let's give him the results here.
All right, so first one, Thunder are 3-0, but how do you feel about the team so far? We asked.
We did. Yeah, I know.
So most people are feeling like us, I think, maybe. Cautiously optimistic, 61%. Only 2% are feeling uh-oh. And 13% are pessimistic, 24% say great.
How do you feel, Rob?
Cautious. Yeah. I wonder why people would say uh-oh, though.
Just 2%. That was like one. Yeah, that was that one dickhole that always is like, fuck this. I don't like polls. Yeah. He's upset about there being a poll. Damn it. I wanted to write in a response. Why don't you have fill in the blanks?
I need attention.
Okay, second poll. So you're both cautiously optimistic also?
Yeah.
Okay, good job. Yeah. Good job, audience. All right, so who averages more points per game this season? Steven Adams or Enes Kanter?
And right now, Steven Adams is averaging more.
Correct.
What is he at? He's at 13 a game and Kanter's at 12.3.
And 54% of people said Steven Adams, 46% said Kanter.
That was before the season started.
Pretty tight poll there.
I really hope it to be Kanter. I do, because I think that would... And I think that's what the Thunder need. That's what I think. That's why.
That's what they need.
Why do you say that?
Well, because...
So he's higher value trade bait?
They just need... No, well, not even that. And that's, I think, more so to keep him. But I think that's where the Thunder are going to be at their best. Because I feel like Adams at 13, whatever it was... 13 to 15 points a game, I think is really good.
Yeah.
And I think Kanter at 17 or so.
I mean, anybody scoring 17 a game for this team is going to be great.
I'm for it.
But I feel like they need, and they he need had one really scoring. Bad game. Otherwise, he would be higher than Adams so far this season.
I mean, in Kanter, he's scoring 12-3 a game, which is probably around what he averaged last year, maybe more. It's probably a little bit more than he averaged last year, but he's shooting 55%, which is lower. That's kind of low for him, really. So he's having...
But 19.4 minutes.
Yeah, it's low. That's about what it was last year. Yeah, I mean, that's largely impacted by that Suns game, like you were talking, though. What, yeah. He played 12 minutes? And then, what do we have here? Lakers game, he played 22 minutes.
He had a really good
game
there. Well, he's like 8 for 11 shooting.
And 24 averaged, minutes in the 76ers game.
He averaged 12.7 points a game last year.
Really? So he's actually less than that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
18.7 the year before.
And three games.
And 26
in,
games.
So.
All right, it's time.
Hold on. It's not.
No, it's time.
It's not. It's time.
Notes! Okay. Woj from Yahoo. You heard of him?
Dropping bombs.
He's reporting that the CBA will extend 7 years through the 2024 season.
I like it.
So we might not have to deal with a lockout for a long time.
Thank God.
Although, you know, we're going to be really sad as OKC fans with this lockout because they're going to put in like a KD provision that helps teams keep their superstars.
Yeah, good
timing.
Just so
you guys know. Thanks, guys.
Good timing, CBA. Dicks. Why'd you just like call it a lockout though? Like you foreshadowed and did you call it a lockout? Or?
I didn't call it a lockout.
Did you?
No.
Am I losing my mind?
I'm just saying there's a provision. What are you talking about?
I thought you said during this lockout. Sorry.
No.
I'm losing my mind.
In the new CBA, that's what they're going to do.
Gotcha. Russell Westbrook's on the cover. Sports Illustrated's NBA preview issue. He's on the cover of everything these days. Thunder exercised their third year options on Cameron Payne and Josh Huestis. I think we said Josh Huestis is not future.
No, I don't think so.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Russ was named Western Conference Player of the Week last week. No surprise there. He's averaging 38.7 points a game, 12.3 rebounds a game, which is tops on the team, and 11.7 assists per game, which is tops in the NBA. Leads the NBA in scoring, leads the NBA in assists per game. He's like top 10 in rebounds per game. He's averaging more rebounds a game than Rudy Gobert. Blake Griffin. It's just crazy.
He's led or tied the Thunder in all of those categories for the first three games.
Boosh! Is it sustainable? I mean, it is, I think, for him, but is it healthy? Is it a healthy sustainable?
Yeah. It's good.
I mean, if there's anybody that can do that, it's Russ. So but they're going to have to lean on him, which they are, and at least he's only had one bad game out of the three. I'm saying bad game just shooting percentage-wise.
Yeah. His efficiency one game was awful.
Right.
It was the lowest efficiency for scoring 50 points since like 1984 or some random number year. Long time ago.
Really?
Yeah. It was
when he scored 54 in his career high against the Pacers a couple years ago? That was extremely inefficient. He took like 50 shots or something.
Yeah.
But that's not what we want. I mean,
no.
Other two games, he's taken 21 apiece, and that's what they need.
Rob, we had a question before the season started. Well, will he set his career high or something? Will he have a 60-point game? And I think you said his high was going to be high 40s or something. And
yeah, I don't remember exactly what I said. I didn't think he would score 51, I can say that.
Yeah, especially in the second game.
Second game of the year. Meta World Peace said, the ghost of Effie at the Skirvin Motel touched him inappropriately. Do you believe him?
Yeah, why not? I hope it did.
I don't know.
You ever seen his balls?
I think that Effie has now. That was perfect timing. I mean, there's been a lot of stories to go around about that Effie.
Somebody touched his balls, I'm sure. Or his body.
Someone definitely touched his balls.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Maybe it's the maid. Huh? Anything about that?
Huh? The maid named Effie?
Yeah.
No, I've read the backstory. Have you read the backstory?
No, I haven't looked at it.
I did just after that because I was like, you know, I've never even looked at the story on this and I need to do it. But apparently, Effie was, she was like a maid or something that worked at the hotel.
See, I got
and
this.
The owner, Mr. Skirvin, was having an affair with her and got her pregnant. He was like her mistress, put her up in a room like on the top floor of the hotel. She had the baby, pretty much locked her in there, and she got depressed and everything. And one day she just went and grabbed her baby, jumped out of the window and killed herself and the baby. However, there's no death records of anyone named Effie ever dying. No police reports or anything like that, but that's what legend says.
Interesting.
That
story
is
time.
Interesting.
I like it.
Story time with Brent.
Follow us on Twitter for more stories at OKC Thunderheads. Subscribe on iTunes. Check out OKCThunderheads.com for some blogging. You can find us on Facebook, SoundCloud, Google Play. Thanks for listening. And the Thunder go to LA tomorrow, which is Wednesday. Then the much anticipated matchup with Golden State on Thursday. Then back home Saturday versus the Wolves. So we will talk to you on the other side. Thunder up.
I've switched a lot of things in my life, but it's never worked out. I switched to being a vegetarian, but ate more bacon than ever. Every time I switch lines at the grocery store, I never pick the fast one. But one thing that totally worked out is I switched to Metro PCS and got a free Samsung Galaxy.
Make the right switch too. Move to Metro PCS and get a free Samsung Galaxy J7 with a huge 5.5-inch screen. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Plus sales tax. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details, terms, and conditions.